This is the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast. I'm thrilled to have you back. We are crazy passionate about building leaders because when the leader gets better, everyone gets better. If this podcast is helpful to you, there's two things that you can do that would mean a lot to me. You can rate it or write a review on iTunes. You can also share about it on social media. I am encouraged and grateful for all of you that share on social media. If you're new with us, we release a new podcast the first Thursday of every month. We have the notes available for you if you want to go through the show notes or maybe review them with a friend or the team. You can go to life.church/leadership podcast. If you click on the link and ask, if you simply send us your email, we'll email you the notes every single month so you can review them with your team, and those will come automatically if you request those. I love hearing from you. Thank you for the positive feedback. Comments, questions, you can communicate anytime. Drop me an email at leadership@life.church. The big theme for this month is this. We're going to talk about creating an empowering culture. Creating an empowering culture. This month we'll do part one. Next month we'll do part two. Before getting to the main theme, I'd love to answer some of your questions. So let's dive into a couple of great questions. Robert emailed this. Robert asked, when making big decisions to add or take away programs or departments from your organization, what are some questions you ask yourself? When making a big decision to add or take away programs, what are some questions you ask yourself? Hopefully, we're adding, and hopefully, we're taking away. We're looking critically at all of our different departments, ministries, products, or whatever, and restructuring or reorganizing all the time. I want to talk specifically about taking away a program, a product, or a ministry. I would argue that most organizations aren't doing too little. Most are doing too many things that don't move the needle. And so let's talk about the questions to ask if you're going to remove something. I've got three for you. The first thing, ask yourself or your team this. Are we genuinely passionate about this program, or are we faking false energy for it? Are we sincerely passionate about it? In other words, if you're promoting a product, if you're promoting some Wednesday night event, if you're promoting something and you don't want to be there, you don't want to do it, you don't really believe in it, there's a real problem. Ask yourself sincerely, do we really believe in this, or are we generating a false and fake energy for it? Number two, if you weren't doing this program now, what could you be doing instead? This is a really important question. If you were not doing this, what could you be doing instead? And this question is important because almost anyone can make an argument for a current program, ministry, product, or department. There are people who are going to defend what is, and they'll give you a lot of reasons why you should keep doing whatever you're doing. They might say, this group likes it, or it's still profitable, or here's a story of someone whose life was changed, or whatever. And those are fair points. Does this product, does this ministry have value? And the answer is yes. But could you create more value by doing something else? You've got a limited amount of time, resources, and energy. If you were focusing your energy in some other area, could you have a higher return on your investment? So the second question is, if you weren't doing this, what else could you do? And the third question to ask yourself is this, if you weren't doing this program or you didn't have this department, would we start it now? Super important question. If we weren't already doing this, would we start it now? If the answer is no, then there's some clarity. Maybe you should drop that program. Let's deal with another question. This is related, and Natalie asked this. How do we grow our team to get them more involved in implementing the ideas we discuss during our meetings? The team already has so much going, they're reluctant to take on new vision. So evidently, Natalie's got some good vision for some new ideas, and the team is resistant to fully engage. The first question I would ask, Natalie, is, does your team really have too much going? Because the answer is they might, and that's worth looking at. It's really hard to get excited about something new when you already have too much going on. before starting something new, sometimes you want to stop something old. So it's really wise to ask yourself, am I overburdening, overtaxing the team? If they aren't doing too much, then I would ask myself a couple of questions. I'd ask myself, do we have a why problem or do we have an ownership problem? Let's start with a why. Do we have a why problem? Before people do the what, they must understand the why. Without the why, the what is really hard to get excited about. So if your team doesn't seem motivated to try something new, ask yourself, do they truly understand why this is critical, why this isn't so important? Second question, do we have an ownership problem? If every idea is your idea, then your team is executing your vision. If instead the idea is partially their idea, or in other words, they're part of the process of creating the idea, they're more likely to have ownership and see it as their own. If they don't have a passion for the project, I'm asking myself some questions. I'm asking myself, have I not led them to care? Or do I possibly have a wrong person or two on the team? I want to start with myself because before I ever give blame, I take ownership. Very important leadership principle. Before we give blame, we take ownership. Do I need to motivate better? Do they have the resources they need? Do they feel valued, appreciated? Is the culture healthy? I want to start with myself. If all these things are in place, everything else is good, the team is still not driven by vision, then I may be looking to upgrade one or two that may simply be the wrong people. All right, let's dive into the big theme for this month and next month's podcast. Crazy important subject. I want to talk about creating an empowering culture. Culture matters more than you can imagine. You can have a good product, a good strategy, a good plan, and a good vision, but without a healthy culture, you're doomed to always struggle. It's always wise as a leader to ask yourself, what are the traits or the qualities we want to develop in our culture? And you want to be intentional about these. For example, do we want to build a risk-taking culture, a high feedback culture, a people-developing culture, an honoring culture, whatever? I would argue passionately that as a leader, you want to make sure you're developing an empowering culture where you're giving leadership away to other people. I had a question, sometimes somebody asked me, what was the most important decision I made in my leadership? And if you look back through the history of my organization, I lead a bunch of different churches. We've been able to create a lot of new and innovative things. Multi-site, we were on the front end. Video teaching, YouVersion Bible app, free resources, church online. A lot of really cool things. People might say that was your most important decision. My most important decision in my leadership was empowering and trusting a guy named Jerry Hurley. That's it. My most important leadership decision was when we had maybe 300 or 400 people coming in a single location. I hired a guy who was previously a district manager for Target. So this was a very capable guy. I was 29 years of age or so. He was 34, 35, had so much more experience than I did. And Jerry came to me one time and said something along the lines of, Craig, you've got great vision, you're capable, but you're not giving away control. And he said very respectfully, very honoring, he said, if you don't let other people lead, you will become the lid to the organization. And he asked me, will you trust me to do what I know how to do? And it was like a very special moment for me because I looked at Jerry and said, yes, yes, that's why I hired you because I think you're incredibly capable. And so I took my hands off of things that I had owned and controlled for so long. And that was the beginning of the significant growth for our organization. What was the most significant leadership decision I made was when I trusted and empowered a leader. That was the beginning of every good thing in our organization when I was willing to give away control to somebody who was very capable. A key thought, if you're taking notes, I hope you'll jot this down. The key to success in any organization is identifying, developing, and empowering the right people. Let me say it again. The key to success in any organization is identifying, developing, and empowering the right people. Here's the challenge. Most leaders are trying to figure out the right strategy. What's the right strategy? What's the right approach? The best leaders are obsessed with empowering the right people. Let me say that again. Most leaders are trying to figure out the best strategy. The best leaders are obsessed with empowering the right people. Now, where do we find these right people? Remember, we don't find great leaders. We build great leaders. We don't find them. We develop them. Then we empower them and we let them lead. Now, I know that many of our listeners are not Christians or not Jesus followers, and that's totally great. I'm super glad you're a part of our community. As a pastor, I wanted to say from my perspective, the greatest example of empowering leadership is Jesus. When you think about this, Jesus, what did he do? Jesus identified 12 men without a lot of experience, invested his life in them, empowered them, spent 3 years with them, and then he said, go change the world. 3 years of investment, and he said, here's your mission. And this is how he said it, Matthew 28 and 19, if you want to look in a Bible. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This, to me, is so amazing. What did Jesus do? He took 12 men, he invested in them, and then what did he do? He said, go, here's your assignment, I trust you to go do it. So here's the big question, and why do I use this text? How do we empower people? This text is known in Christian circles as the Great Commission, and the Great Commission clearly communicates two currencies of empowerment. What are the two currencies of empowerment? Clarity and trust. The two currencies of empowerment are clarity and trust. What do we do? One big thought for today. Next month, we'll cover the next big thought. Big thought number one is, how do we empower leaders? Number one, we communicate with clarity and we extend trust. We communicate with clarity and we extend trust. What was Jesus? He was crystal clear on the what and the where. The what was go and make disciples. The where was all nations. He was clear on the what. He was clear on the where. He was not clear on the how. Why? Because he trusted the disciples. What did he do? He gave clear directions, but he trusted them with the how. He said, he trusted them, here, you go, figure it out. What do we do as leaders? We communicate with clarity and we extend trust. Here's what I want you to accomplish, but you can figure out how to do it because I believe in you. You're the right leader. Here's the what, here's the where, here's the parameters. You figure out the how. The big question you may ask is, well, how do I know if I can trust someone? Ready for this? How do I know if I can trust someone? The best way to figure out if you can trust someone is to trust someone. It's that simple. It's to extend trust, see how it goes, give them some freedom, give them some opportunity. That's what Jesus did. Hey, I've invested in you. I believe in you. I'm leaving this with you. I trust you. This is what Jerry asked me to do. A very capable leader. Will you trust me? When I did, that's when everything changed. So why do we need clarity and why do we need trust? What are the practical applications of how these qualities will play out in our organizations? Here's some bullet point thoughts. If you're taking notes, you can jot this down. Clarity without trust produces fear and inaction. Clarity without trust produces fear and inaction. Second thought, trust without clarity produces work without direction. Trust without clarity produces work without direction. Let's unpack these for a minute. The first one, clarity without trust produces fear and inaction. In other words, if I tell you, this is what I want you to do, but don't trust you, this is going to create an element of fear. For example, if you say, Craig, I want you to do this, but you're always looking over my shoulder, you're always controlling me, what am I going to feel? I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. I don't have confidence. My fear often becomes paralyzing. I don't feel like you really believe in me, so therefore I'm not going to take risks. I know what you want me to do, but I don't believe that you trust me. Clarity without trust produces fear and inaction. I'm not proud of this, but my assistant had a conversation with me not too long ago and said, hey, you always ask me to do something, and then you go and do it yourself. And what does that do? What was I doing? That was not a trust-building action. That was a trust-taking action. I was communicating inadvertently, hey, I've asked you to do this, but I don't trust you to get it done as fast as I want to, so I'm taking it back. And that doesn't create a healthy environment because I was creating a trust-taking communication rather than a trust-building. Ask yourself, am I leading with trust-building actions or trust-taking actions? Let's talk about the next big thought. Trust without clarity produces work without direction. If I trust you, but don't give you clarity, you might be just doing busy work but not doing the right things. A lot of times, our team members don't have clarity. And so they're out there working, but they're not sure exactly what to do. They may start doing something, but it's not the most important thing. If you want to frustrate somebody on your team, here's what you do. You want to frustrate someone? Give them freedom without direction. Don't give them any direction at all. Don't clarify the when. Don't give them any kind of boundaries. Don't say, here's the goal. Just trust them without any direction. I want to know as a leader that what I'm doing is important and adds value to my organization. So you have to help your team understand the when. Trust without clarity produces work without direction. Two more big thoughts. Here's the next one. Clarity, what does it do? Clarity ensures that your team members' work is aligned with your goals and missions. Your team wants to know what I'm doing is important. When you trust them, what does it do? That you can jot this down. Trust is the necessary net that results in risk taking. I need a safety net. If you trust me, this is the net. This empowers me. This frees me to say, I can take a risk. I can experiment. I can try something new. Because you believe in me, I can try. My job is secure. So even if I fail 1 out of 4 times, I'm not in big trouble. I've got the freedom to create, the freedom to be innovative, the freedom to try something. For example, my video guy, Mad Dog, who's shooting me right now, not his real name, but he works like a mad dog, so we call him a Mad Dog. Mad Dog has so many awards for his videos. I always joke with him that he uses Emmys, the little trophies, he uses Emmys as doorstops. Well, Mad Dog had an idea. He wanted to try some new shots on a weekend message with me that I didn't love, but he said, hey, I really believe in these. I want to give it a shot. So what am I going to do? I'm a communicator. He's a video guy. Who knows more about video? I'm going to sit back and go, it's not my preference, but I trust you. I hired you. I believe in you. You're one of the best there is. So even though it's outside of my comfort zone, let's experiment. What are we doing? We're extending trust, which builds equity. If I control everything, I'm not going to give them the freedom to lead. I trust you. I trust what's inside of you. I trust your instincts. I trust your gifts. You're here because you bring a different perspective. If we don't communicate that trust, we're going to incredibly frustrate our team members. So, what do we do to create an empowering culture? We communicate with clarity and we extend trust. In the next episode, let me tell you what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about guarding the values and surrendering control. Guarding the values and surrendering the control. Big question. What if you as a leader don't trust your team? What if you as a leader don't trust your team? Then the answer is this. Either you have the wrong team or you are the wrong leader. Either way, the issue is yours to resolve. What if you don't trust the people you work with? Either you have the wrong people or you're the wrong leader. Either way, it's yours to resolve. Let's review, and then I want to give you some application questions. Quick review. The key to success in any organization is identifying, developing, and empowering the right people. Most leaders are trying to figure out the right strategy. The best leaders are obsessed with empowering the right people. Where do we find these great leaders? We don't find them. We build them. Then we empower them and let them lead. How do we empower people? The two currencies of empowerment, clarity and trust. We communicate with clarity and extend trust. How do we know if we can trust someone? The best way to find out if we can trust someone is to trust someone. Why do we extend clarity and trust? Why do we need clarity and trust? Clarity without trust produces fear and inaction. Trust without clarity produces work without direction. What is trust? It's the necessary net that results in risk-taking. A couple of application questions. Number one, and this is what you want to ask yourself, maybe work on this with your team. As a leader, which do you need to improve in most? Communicating with clarity or extending trust? As a leader, where do you need to improve? Communicating more clearly or extending trust? Now, this is the important part. What is your game plan to improve? Identify, I need to be more clear. I need to be better at empowering and trusting people. Identify very specifically, what am I going to do differently in order to improve in these areas? A couple suggestions. If it's communicating clearly, You need to make sure exactly what it is that you want to communicate. As a leader, what I want to do is I'm trying to communicate generally just one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing. I would ask you this: what is the most important win you need in your organization during this season? One thing. This is the one thing. This is the one area. Communicate clearly. This is the one place we need to win. Communicate clearly. Decide on what you want to communicate and communicate clearly. If it's extending trust, you need to trust more. Ask yourself this: why am I holding back? Why am I unwilling or unable to extend trust? And then here's four sub-questions to ask yourself. Are my standards too high? Very fair question. You might have way too high of standards. Secondly, do I really believe I'm the only one who can do things right? If you really believe you're the only one, you are a limiting factor to your organization. You're full of pride and you really need to get off your high horse. There are great people all over. If you really, really believe you're the only one who can do things right, surround yourself with better people or get out of leadership. That's insulting. Sorry to be harsh, but it's true. Third question, am I threatened by good leaders? You may say, of course I'm not. But the reality is sometimes people surround themselves by weaker people because they're threatened by strong people. You have to ask yourself honestly, am I threatened by people who are better than I am? You want to surround yourself with people better than you all day long. Better people make the better organizations. Last question, what needs to change in me to better trust my team? What needs to change in me to better trust my team? If you don't trust your team, either you have the wrong team or you're the wrong leader. Either way, it's yours to resolve. So that concludes this session. I want to say thank you very much for sharing on social media. Thank you for rating, reviewing, helping get the word out. I'm really excited about sharing next month's part two. Very, very helpful and practical information. As a leader, what do? Be yourself. Be yourself. You are who you're supposed to be. Be yourself, because people would rather follow a leader who's always real than one who's always right.
Thanks again for joining us on the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast. I know many of you are listening on a podcast app or maybe watching on YouTube. If you'd like to find show notes for this episode or any previous episode, you can find all of those at life.church/leadership podcast. Plus, you can also access discussion questions for you and your team, links to additional resources, and you can have all of that sent to your email inbox each and every month. As you heard in this episode, Craig answered some questions from many of our listeners, and you might have a leadership question you'd like to ask as well. To submit that question, all you have to do is send us an email to leadership@life.church. And if you've been enjoying this podcast, we'd ask that you show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes, and be sure to share the episode with all of your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us today, and we'll see you next time right here at the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast.